Welcome to this special edition of Theology Live. We're calling this Listener Mail. And this is simply a space to breathe and ask questions and process together questions that have been raised either through social media or personal email. There are two questions that have come up via the hashtag Theology Live. So if you have questions or comments or reflections, please hashtag on Twitter Theology Live. And this listener had two questions, which sort of ring back to a couple of our guests in the last season. So I will address these questions, and please expect in this space, we may have kind of specialized guests who come in and talk to us in the office and address these with me. But today, you just get me. The first question the listener posed is, after omitting the major problems with purity culture, what do you see as the guiding Christian sexual ethic? Which is a great question, very challenging. I really do wish that I could push this off on someone else, because sex is never a non-controversial topic. But I think one of the best ways of approaching this has been given to us. It's such a gift. In the book Just Love, A Framework for Christian Sexual Ethics by Margaret Farley, she taught at Yale Divinity School for many, many years. And Dr. Farley, this work is really, to some extent, a great reflection and sort of a definitive reflection from a more sacramental Catholic, little c Catholic, universal church perspective. And toward the end of the book, in her chapter called A Framework for a Sexual Ethic, Just Sex, Dr. Farley says this: Christian traditions share an affirmation of the goodness of creation, the central significance of the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, the redemption of humanity and all creation by the saving action of God through Jesus Christ, the command and the call of humans to love God with all their heart and soul and strength, and to love their neighbors as themselves. To some persons, the whole world manifests something sacred, that is, the presence of God, so that human sexuality, too, has a sacramental dimension. Now, what I will not do is get into kind of the questions around premarital sex, what's quote right or wrong. I think that is a very personal decision for people. What I think Dr. Farley really doesn't get into that either. What she does, though, is offer us a perspective, a viewpoint, a lens through which we understand sexual relationships and human relationships sacramentally. As we know, the word sacrament means an outward invisible sign of an inward invisible grace. And what she does in this book is invites people to begin imagining sex as this sacramental experience, one that is centered around justice, one that is centered around mutuality, one that is centered around consent. There is lots of talk in our current age around consent, rape, sexual assault. And I think what the church needs in this moment is a robust theology of consent. What does it mean to view sex as something that is mutual, something that is between two consenting adults, something that beautifully reflects that inner dynamism of the Trinity, that God as Father, God as Son, God as the Holy Spirit is in this constant mutual dance within itself? And how do we, as human beings, as baptized people, join in that dance of mutuality, in that dance of consent? And so I think that Dr. Farley does such a great job of lifting that up. So I highly recommend her book, Just Love, A Framework for Christian Sexual Ethics. And with this question, I will close with a passage from the book. She says, although religion in whatever tradition can function primarily as a harsh reminder of duty, a source of shame and guilt, a producer of timidity or zealous moralisms, it can also free us from the sort of fear that keeps us away from God and fractures ourselves. Yet we are able to believe that some loves can be blessed with inexhaustible life, that some relationships can hold no matter what the forces of evil may threaten against them, that sexuality can become part of the highest forms of friendship, and that a call to justice remains. So we thank Dr. Margaret Farley for such a great framework in her book, Just Love. Our next question comes from the same listener, and it is this. How do you define, quote, white theology, end quote? What are its primary markers, and what's the best available resources to study it? Again, this is another great question. I have a lot of answers to this, a lot of reactions. I think when I am referring to white theology, or friends of mine on Twitter, or friends in real life are referring to this, we are talking about a theological framework that underpins much of what we know as American Christianity. We think about the people coming to this continent, many of which in the 1600s were deeply devout people, deeply devout Christians, and the ways in which they read the Bible that kind of helped undergird their understandings of the humanity of Native Americans, which then led them to basically commit genocide. Later on, after, you know, kind of this depletion of Native American life, there came the enslavement of African people, the first of which were brought to this continent in 1619, and so on and so forth. And so what kind of theological justifications did they have for the dehumanization, the genocide, the enslavement of other human beings? And how has that legacy carried on among white Christians who are doing theology, writing theology, preaching theology, saying theology out loud? I think one way of spotting white theology, and this goes more into kind of whiteness writ large, is white identity much of the time has to do with not having to understand oneself as white. So it's basically any form of theology that doesn't have, that's not hyphenated. So we have black theology, we have feminist theology, we have womanist theology, we have Mujerista theology, we have Latino theology, we have liberation theology. So what forms of theology are simply understood as just theology? No hyphen, no hyphenation. And I think that's a great place to begin. What voices are understood as normative or normal in theological discourse, academic theological discourse, local church theological discourse, internet theological discourse? I come under a lot of fire for some of my stronger language around white theology, but I think it's an important thing to recognize for people who hold to theologies that are kind of steeped in whiteness, kind of steeped in this, what some would call a non-identity. A great place to begin, honestly, is with the work of James Cone. His most recent book, The Cross and the Lynching Tree, addresses kind of the connections between what emerged as black liberation theology from kind of the terror, the early 20th century and late 19th century terror of post-bellum white theology, specifically in the South. So I would begin there. another great place to begin in expanding kind of your theological imagination is actually a book that has nothing, you know, quote, nothing to do with theology, but it's deeply spiritual, is a book called In Search of Our Mother's Gardens by Alice Walker, who is a womanist scholar and poet, playwright, author, and she wrote The Color Purple. And this book really offers kind of an alternative vision to much of what we understand as domination, erasure, and other forms of violence against women of color, specifically Black women. She offers such a beautiful kind of lavender alternative to much of the fighting and violence we find in theology. And I guess to close, I want this space of Listener Mail and also the space of Theology Live to be a place that is open, that is safer for people, that gives people room to breathe. I'm not interested in offering answers as much as responses. I don't think that there are any absolutes when it comes to referring to God or referring to the meaning of life. All of our experiences are different. All of our experiences are unique. And I think that God manifests God's self in all of us in a variety of ways. And if God was interested in us being uniform and thinking the same thing about everything, God would have made us one person and not, you know, 7 billion people. So I want you to use this space and to use your life and the rest of this day to ask really great questions, to understand that there probably aren't any absolutes other than God loves us very much. God is always inviting us toward freedom in Christ, and we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. There is plenty of room to laugh and make light of this thing that we call life. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to our next Listener Mail session. Please send your questions to #TheologyLive, and we will respond to them next month or the month after. Who knows when this will happen again? Thank you so much.